Well, boomadita, and we're back with Radio Fishing. And it's Fishing Frank here in the chair, and we got Robert in the chair across from me, and we're going to do an area fishing report. Going to kind of bring all the places, sounds, and sights of fishing in South Florida back to you. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
All right. I don't know why I reached over. I was going to turn off, you know, the one thing, and I just about shut off the, you know, thing that actually records all this. So yay, Frank's just, you know, all right. Passed another blunder. Didn't actually mess the whole thing up entirely. Only had to do one fake stop today. So, yeah, the crowd. Okay, calm down, everybody. Calm down. All right. Yes. I know you're happy to be here. And we're happy to be here again. And thanks, everybody, so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And keep in mind, Radio Fishing is a registered trademark of Fish and Franks, which is a regular registered trademark of Fish and Frank, which is a regular anyway, they all belong to me.
Perfect.
So anyway, and may not be used without written express permission from me. And yeah, I was like, good God, I told you, all of a sudden I was sitting here, I just got one heck of a headache. I don't know what happened. We were doing the place by place fishing report and having a great time this morning. So anyway, place by place area fishing radio fishing report, go ahead, tell me something.
Let's start at the Peace River. It's easy.
Okay, we're just start at the Peace River. The water's really hot and really fresh and pretty ride, but don't really know if you're going to catch any fish up there.
It's beautiful for the scenery.
Yeah, that's great scenery. It. I mean, all the vines and everything, it's all beautiful. I love the Peace River because you can start off at 41 Bridge, and it's a straight-out saltwater environment, and you get up past, up around Harbor Heights, and it's still mangroves and mangrove islands.
Then it starts to get marshy with that sawgrass kind of mix.
As soon as you get past Harbor Heights, you're getting into that sawgrass, which is where freshwater and saltwater meet.
Yeah.
And then
that's awesome looking. That's just a cool plant, just the way it sticks out, the different texture to it compared to the background.
And then all of a sudden you see the if you're watching the plants, I mean, it changes from a saltwater to a mixed area to freshwater. And I mean, going from mangrove trees to cypress trees.
Yeah,
I mean,
you got like four different ecosystems that you cross.
It's just
in a
really
very
cool.
Short period of time.
I mean, you know, just if you've never done it, just take a nice leisurely ride up to Peace River, and by the time you get up to the 761 Bridge, I mean, you've kind of seen it. If you go past there, you can get on other stuff. But, I mean, you can go, like I say, through, watch the whole change of from freshwater into saltwater environment. Actually, yeah. It's going to be from saltwater freshwater because we're going that way.
Well, yeah, in a span of, what, 10 miles? I mean, literally, you're going to see
miles,
three
yeah.
or four ecosystems that you would have to drive all over the state to different locations to see. And you can see it in a short span. It's really, really pretty cool.
Yeah, it if it didn't cost so much in fuel and time to do it, I'd like to. I used to do tours going up there, and what's really cool about the Peace River, I would do, you know, like 20, 30 miles on the Peace River, and you were never on the same water twice.
Yeah, that
because
was
of all
awesome.
The little creeks and everything. I took you on that trip,
yeah,
didn't I?
Yeah, took the wife and I. That was a blast. Took me a couple times, but you took the wife and I. That was just phenomenal.
It's just, it's hard to believe you can go up the river and back down because of all the extra creeks and stuff and really not be on the same water
yeah.
twice.
I mean, as long as I've lived here, I've never seen all that. You know, it's usually just the one way up, one way back, same thing. And
yeah.
to see all
I don't
that
like
really
tours like that. To me, you know, if I go up one
yeah,
way,
I
don't want
to see the left
see
side of the tree. Now I get to see the right side of the tree. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, and but when you know, but you have to do it in shallow draft stuff, and you have to actually have to know where you're going. And if you're going to go exploring in those little creeks and stuff up there, like I do, remember things live there, so go slowly. There's nothing wrong with running the boat through there, but there's a thing wrong with running a fast boat through there or at a fast idle, which is almost worse than running fast.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to respect the environment and know that the only way it's going to stay there is if we don't screw it up.
So right.
Anyway, lots of cool stuff. Coming back down to 41.
41 Bridges and throughout the early morning, like just before daylight, has been pretty good with snook and assorted sizes of tarpon, mostly on the small side. During the daytime, it gets a little quieter there, especially with all this rain we had this week. It's kind of made it a little funkier.
Heard a couple of Spanish mackerel popping up. That kind of surprised me. I wasn't. Yeah. I really didn't expect there would be some Spanish in the canals or even left over at the 41. But for some, maybe they got lost.
That's what I was just going to say. I think it's just that occasional lost one.
Yeah, just you know, ones that
there's
couldn't make
been
it.
A few schools of threadies there and a few schools of glass minnows that are starting to develop out there. So I think over the next couple weeks, you're going to see more ladyfish, some Spanish mackerel, and they'll probably be following that incoming tide and then disappearing with the outgoing tide the way they usually do this time of year.
Well, I'm looking forward to September. September's going to be fun.
September's always a cool, awesome month.
Well, it kind of depends, right? Because if we can get a couple of cool fronts, we're not going to get cold fronts, but
right.
a couple of fronts to chill it down just a bit, which is normal for September, that's going to spike it off because we've got a little bit of bait here now. We've got all the stuff. Everything's ready, set, getting ready to go. And so looking
balloons
forward.
Filling up.
Yeah, looking forward to it. September's going to be pretty cool. Hopefully it's going to be a little cool.
Favorite month of the year besides May. Those fishing-wise, it's just those 2 months are just this.
Got the transition months.
Exactly.
You know, the beginning just before summer and kind of the end of summer.
And the cool part is that I mean, it's cool and bad in aspects is that we get to experience it for ourselves. You know, anyone that lives here during that time of year gets to be selfish and have it all to ourselves versus mm-hmm. in the springtime, you still got that overlap of snowbirds and tourists coming in and out. So
it's a slower time of year because all the schools have started. There's very few people, you know, coming to Florida for anything.
Yeah.
We do get a lot of locals, a lot of locals on the water because
absolutely.
That's the time of year. The kids, okay, they're in school, things have settled down, snook comes into season,
yep.
and it is the probably number one month of the year for the locals to get out, get their fishing in, and you know, the water's not really crowded, and it's a great time. I like
absolutely.
That. Just like, you know, when I grew up in the Midwest, September was one of my favorite months.
Yeah.
Because we're after the dog days of October, you've had a couple of cool fronts, you know, and you've got the color changing up there and all that.
Yeah.
But I like it here better.
Definitely.
I like South Florida in September. You know, you always want to go and see the change of leaves, but you can do that in October, November, or October anyway.
Right.
But so I'm staying in Florida for September. I'm going to take my vacations in August, and I am taking one vacation in September, though. Get together with Terry for her birthday, and she's got a biggie coming up. She's not happy about that. So, you know, I'm taking her way away.
There you go.
We're getting in the Toyota and we're hauling butt somewhere.
There you go. That'll be good.
I finally broke loose a little bit of money.
You still might come back with like some kind of decorations in the yard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Just saying.
Just saying. Oh, no.
Flamingos might not be pink. They might be a different, darker color.
Like gray flamingos. Oh, my God. She's going to kill you.
Maybe.
You're going to be lucky to survive this.
Maybe I'll just put one out there. If I put a whole flock, she'll definitely kill me. Like 30,
pink
40
gray flamingos. Oh my God. You got to put the big green sunglasses on them.
Yeah. No, I won't get that far.
Froghead.
No, I won't get that far into it. She'll definitely kill me. She bakes too good
I think it would be funny.
She bakes too good of a cake. I don't want to miss out on that. At least that next
about
chocolate
that.
Cake.
Oh, God.
Wax,
how am I
going to
keep my mouth shut about this till September? Oh, my God. I can just see coming back into the yard.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway. Back
good
to the
news,
fishing.
There's a 50-50 shot she might hear this.
Yeah, there is a 50-50 shot. I don't think she's listening right now. She's really busy because we're getting ready the grandson's birthday, and I got a granddaughter with a birthday, and I got all this other stuff going on. So anyway, so I don't think she'll hear this one.
Okay.
So anyway, back to Porsche, the canal system. We got some snook, got a little bit of snapper. I'm going to say less than exciting. I've heard scattered sheepheads, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it really, the dog days of August, the canals are kind of fresh. They're hot, low oxygen. Mm-hmm. If I was, I would just, you know, I'd head out to further out towards the intercoastal.
Yeah, once you come out, the entrances, though, start looking around because those tarpon have been moving back and forth.
Oh, I forgot about the tarpon.
Especially a lot of juveniles, you know, that little 10 to 50-pound range. And with the occasional, obviously, 150-pounder. But at the entrances of those canals, and especially right at the end of the channel markers from the beach complex over to Colony Point all the way to 41 Bridge. early morning is by far the best time, or late in the evening. The middle of the day is, it still hasn't gotten there where they're super active in the middle of the day. For some reason, they're either moving up into the canals and disappearing, or they're moving down into the 20-foot hole in the middle of the day. But early mornings, late afternoons, right after those thunderstorms blow through and it gets real nice and calm out there, you're seeing fish literally rolling all over the place from the shoreline out to the center.
Mm, cool. So, well, let's go over to Micah Cutoff, go up Micah River a little bit.
In the cutoff, there's still some snook up in there, but, it, you know, like you said, it's so darn hot and so much fresh water.
It'd be a great place to go to find a monster snook right now.
Right.
If you're looking for that over 40-inch snook and you're willing to put some time in, go to the Micah Cutoff. You're going to do well with that. Right. It's going to take you a bit. You know, it's and not you like you're going to go there and catch that.
Yeah, you're fishing for one fish. You're not fishing for multiple fish.
You're spending all day to find that one 40-plus, 40, 50-inch snook. And right. That's a great place to go do it. But they didn't get that big by being really stupid.
Yeah.
So, anyway, going over to the Micah River, you've got kind of a...
Yeah, from the mouth all the way up to El Jobin. A lot of scattered little sharks, a few incidental little cobia, most of them are undersized, but the tarpon, the bigger sized tarpon, are scattered all the way up to El Jobin.
Once it gets dark out, El Jobin kind of lights up. Standard procedure for this time of year, you know, the later, closer to early morning you get, the better you're going to be.
Yeah.
Snook, snappers, tarpon, all kinds of stuff.
A few trout, the trout are not numbers, but there's been some bigger trout there.
You know, one of these days we actually got to write a script for this.
Right.
You know, I mean, sitting here doing it off the top of our heads. You know, we got a professional up.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's going to work. It ain't never going to happen. Okay.
We'll follow that to a T.
Yeah, we're going to get right on that. Okay, write down. And never mind. All right, but anyway, anything else in the Micah?
That's really about it. The mouth of the cattle dock. I've heard a couple miscellaneous reports on an oddball snook and an oddball redfish, but once you get up inside, it's gotten real quiet except for a few really big snook. I haven't had any other good reports. I know usually the bluegill and the bass start to pick up pretty good in some of those back canals, but just haven't heard any real good feedback this week. I think part of it's because people getting ready for school and all the rain we had at the beginning of the week. I mean, holy crap. I mean, we had over 7 inches of rain in 2.5 days.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I had way more than that out the house.
Yeah,
but you can be in some places here that haven't had a half an inch.
Yeah, I mean, last week my grass was almost brown. I mean, I hadn't had rain in any measurable rain in like 10 days.
And my grass had grown 11 inches in a week. Yeah. So,
yeah, so you know, at least we got some pretty good soaking rain. Yeah, you know, and it absorbed into the ground because it was a good heavy drizzle for hours and hours.
To me, I've just been absorbed in all these other projects right now. We're getting ready for the Fort Myers Boat Show, and we're getting ready for we got the Fort Myers Boat Show, the Benita Springs Boat Show, we got Charlotte County Boat Show to do. We've got all kinds of stuff coming up. Yes, what's that, Carl?
You're not interested
in any of this. No, I have a bunch of those, but thank you. Okay, he brought in a box, somebody trying to sell us a box of old lures, but. Going back up, we're going down the west wall. We've got redfish and snook kind of scattered all over under the branches and out through some of the potholes. Yeah. The more to midday you get, the more you're going to get under the branches, get more in that shade, because the fish are going to go for the shade, same as I would. I'm not going to stand in the sun.
Absolutely, and look for some of those creeks that are moving. You know, if you got some flowing water coming out from under those bushes, even if you can't see a physical creek, look for that moving water there.
Yeah, just watch for leaves flowing outward from the side. And incoming or outgoing tide right now, last half of the incoming, first half of the outgoing, both great tides to be out there. I don't want to get there at high tide. Mm-hmm. I want to get there, figuring low tide to high tide, I want to get there about halfway through that high tide and fish through the incoming to the first part of the outgoing, and that's going to be your best bet on that west side.
Right, and then just on the outside edge of the bar on the west wall, there are some red or some tarpon and assorted sizes of sharks, mostly on the smaller side. But the tarpon have been kind of moving back and forth. One morning they're stacked up all on the outside of the bar in like that 4 to 6 feet of water, and then the next day they're there in the late afternoon. So it's been kind of hit or miss, but it's definitely consistent enough to be, it's worth watching for rolling fish, because right now, with the lack of oxygen, the tarpon are pretty easy to find right now. You literally just look for rolling fish anywhere out there in the harbor and in the rivers, and they're just they're gulping air big time and chasing quite a bit of bait, you know, so not too difficult to figure out if they're there.
Right. You know,
as you move a little bit further south down there towards Cape Hayes, the harbor side of Cape Hayes on the flat has gotten pretty quiet because of how warm it is. There's still some pinfish and an occasional bit of bait, but really on the back side towards Boca Grande. Nice.
Good place for a nap right there on that side.
Right, exactly.
But if you're going to go, just get across the bar on the Boca side, on the, yeah, the west side, and yeah, everything changes.
Exactly. They're getting a few pompano, a lot of miscellaneous small sharks. I don't know if it's quite that good.
Oh, okay.
A dull, like, oh, hey.
Okay. a little, yoo-hoo. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. A few bigger redfish kind of cruising along the edge of that bar. Especially up
I'm just picturing somebody driving along and I hit that scream and they're going, ah, swerving all over the road. That was for you. And where's that guy from, Louisiana?
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Guy listened to us at driving to work in Alabama. That was for you, just to make sure you're awake this morning.
Paying attention.
Jeez. Okay, go ahead.
I can't imagine that, too. As you get towards sick. Turtle Bay, there's really not a lot going on inside the bay itself. Most of it's been...
We're idling the boat along.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yes.
Most of it's been right at the entrance of Turtle Bay. There's been a few bigger redfish. Some of those, the oversized redfish, have started to school up right there on the bar and behind the bar.
It makes more sense. You get a big bay, you get a small entrance, you get a big harbor. As that water moves back and forth, just like air moving makes it cooler, unless you're in the desert, and then it's like somebody sticking a hairdryer in your face.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
In normal parts of the world, not Arizona or Nevada, but in normal parts of the world, when the air moves, it's cooler, and the same thing with the water. That's why we talk a lot of, right now, in this time of year, we're talking a lot about the mouths of there. We're in Turtle Bay talking about the mouth. We're going to do the same thing in Bull Bay, because the water moving from the bay out towards the Gulf, and the water's moving from the harbor back up into the bay, keeps the mouth of that several degrees cooler.
Right.
And it feels better for the fish. And fish are no different than us. They're going to go where it feels warmer, you know, nicer, better. I mean, not warmer, cooler, nicer, better. I'm in the wrong time of year. I think I'm in December.
Yeah.
So, anyway, sorry about that. Somebody calling me through on my phone. But that's gone. And anyway, on...
the whole flat going from Turtle Bay over to Bull Bay, even over to Devilfish for that matter. A lot of snook and redfish following along. There's a bunch of mullet over there that are running like 8 to 12 inches. Not giants, but scattered groups of them.
Well, what I really like about it at that point is that you're... you get to chase these schools of mullet around thinking they're redfish.
Yeah.
So it makes for an exciting day because, you know, all of a sudden here you got this big school of fish boiling up and working the surface. And, you know, you run up to them, you cast into them, and they move off. And you get up to them, and you cast into them, and you move off. It gives an exciting day chasing mullet.
Yes, absolutely.
It really makes it a lot of fun. And when you have clients on the boat, you know, and you're a charter boat captain, and they're saying, well, all those fish, they're moving out. Okay, we'll go over and cast into them. Maybe there's something. It does, you know, kind of keep the day interesting, even though you try and tell them it's mullet. No, those are redfish. No, they're mullet. Look at the little tiny circles.
Yeah.
Mullet do little circles when they come up. The redfish don't do the little circle thing.
No, they're just a torpedo at all times.
Yeah, the only time they circle up is when they hit in the top water. But other than that, they're just kind of straight line fish. You can always tell those mullet because the little circles they do at the top of the water. For some reason, they come up and do a 360 and then go again. And it's within the length of their body. They just literally turn that 360 and go on. And it's the only way you can keep yourself from following those mullet. But I kind of think it's more fun to follow the mullet around.
Absolutely.
It does give you something to do when the fishing's slow.
Yeah.
So anyway, going back around, we're talking about tailing flats, which is from Devilfish all the way up towards Placida. And then we've got Catfish Creek and Widden and those. What's going on back in there?
Catfishing wouldn't have been a little bit slow this week, and you know, part of it's because of the rain, obviously, that we keep talking about. But at the entrances of them, there's been some really big snook cruising around. As you get more out closer towards the edge of the intercoastal, there's been some reds hanging out in some of those deeper grass flats and some of those oddball oyster patches. A few guys are catching a couple trout there, but very, very, very limited numbers, and they're assorted sizes.
It's a great place to be. It's beautiful. It's nice. It's not as clear as what Pine Island Sound is, but it's still really nice just to be out there and making those casts along that that huge grass flat that's out there. I mean, it's an amazing amount of area, all 18 inches to 2.5 feet deep, depending on the tide. But you can just sit there and drift and make some great casts, and the scenery is beautiful, and you will catch a fish here and there, just enough to keep you, you know, entertained.
Keep
but
a carrot wiggling in front of your nose.
Yeah, it is such an amazing place to drift. I love drifting that flat.
You never know what you're going to get there. I mean, sometimes you'll catch Spanish mackerel literally in 10 inches of water with a cast when you're trying to get...
Then all of a sudden you're drifting through 2 feet and there's a 8-foot lemon shark laying there.
Yeah.
All of a sudden the boat hits them and they blow up, or they'll come and slam on your line. And, you know, it's an amazing flat just to drift around.
Yeah,
it's
really cool.
I just happened to... I don't know why we started talking about the tailing flat, and I just had this image in my mind one morning. I was out there drifting across. The redfish were tailing. And as soon as the other boats show up, they all disappear. And anybody who thinks you're going to go out and see tailing redfish, like, okay, they're just going to do the tails up. No, it doesn't happen. I mean, you're going to be out there 100 times versus for every 100 times you're out there, unless really, really lucky, you're going to see tailing redfish 1 in 100 trips.
Yeah, it's either going to be mullet or sheep's head.
Yeah. So, anyway, going up to Placida, what's going on in Placida right
now? Placida's been a little odd during the day. They're getting some mangrove snapper, a few bigger whiting, not many numbers of them, but they're a little bit bigger.
Really tasty fish, the whiting. We talk a lot about whiting. People don't really, you know, it's not a bait fish. It's a food fish.
Yeah.
And if I was on the beach and I was going to be fishing for shark or cobia or something, I would take at least one fillet for every, you know, if you want to throw something out with meat on it, the fish don't really care. They're not that interested in the meat. You can take the fillets out, throw that carcass out, and catch just as good a fish with it, and you get the fillets off the whiting, which are very tasty.
Absolutely.
Really nice eating fish. But, you know, whiting around Placida, go ahead.
A lot of small sharks during the daytime, but the nighttime is really where the action kind of starts to pick up quite a bit. The, you know, obviously a snooker scattered
through. Thank the Lord for the nighttime. I'm going to forget the day. Thank the Lord for the nighttime.
Nice.
Yeah, well, I'm not Neil Diamond, but, you know, what the heck. Okay, go ahead.
He's a good singer. The bigger snook have been assorted snooker all over the place up there. But there's been some bigger bull reds moving in and out of there. The shark are still there, but they're assorted sizes at night. Seems like they're getting a few bigger ones there. And then the mangrove snapper, even though during the daytime it's been kind of quiet, at night they seem to jump up and let their guard down and get a little bit better quality fish. I've heard of some like 14, 15 inches being caught off there this week. That's kind of about it with that place.
All right, heading up, you know, you've got the whole area from Placida up the intercoastal through Lemon Bay. A few scattered redfish.
Yeah, there are some fish starting to school up a little bit. It's still, you know, a few weeks away, but you always have those early fish that show up, so they're not consistent, so take advantage of it when you find them. Those schools of redfish are kind of hanging out in a little bit deeper water, in like that 3 to 4 feet of water on those grass flats. There's been a few underneath the docks over there, but the snook have started to kind of move around a little bit more. There's still a ton out on the beaches, and we'll get to that, but we're starting to see a few more snook moving right back inside again, because they went that little 4 or 5 week period where they were just kind of scattered. Now you're starting to see a few varieties of them underneath the docks, and some mangrove snapper. As you get up closer to the pass there at Stump Pass, there's been some pretty good quality sharks there day and at night. And the snook fishing is just some of the best. I mean, this is one of the best summers I've seen in a long time for the snook out there in the passes and the beaches. Still a few big bull reds moving in there late in the evening and the early mornings. lots and lots and lots of bait. I mean, it took forever for the white bait to show up, and we're lucky they did. Hopefully the guys aren't beating the crap out of them and taking everything they don't need.
Well, always remember with bait fish, it's just like every other fish we have. Take what you need. You want a meal. If it's a real fish, you know, like a sheephead or snappers or Spanish mackerel, whatever, take what you're going to eat, leave the rest. Same thing with the bait. Take what you need and leave the rest. If you black both wells out just because you can, you're kind of a jerk.
Exactly.
And we have to pay attention to the what the fish eat. It's no good to starve the fish. Yeah. If we're going to starve them, why not just, you know, just take what you want and kill everything? Because right. You can either starve them to death or you can, you know, and both ways, we got to be careful with this.
Absolutely. As you're moving along in the surf, there's been, you know, the whiting that we were talking about, a few small jacks. I've even heard of a couple incidental flounder. I know it's still a little early for those fish, but there's been a couple random places that the guys have been getting them from Venice all the way down to Sanibel, one here and one there, so it's kind of worth mentioning, basically. Just as you get off the beaches, there's still quite a few tarpon scattered up and down all the way down. I mean, they're a little harder to find right now, and it's mostly because they've moved inside, I think. Yeah. There's still fishable fish out there. There's less pressure on them. But you're
nice part about fishing, if you want to go tarpon along the beach right now, is there's not a lot of competition.
Right.
You don't have a lot of charter boat captains out there. You don't have many weekend warriors out there. You've got a few people who are really interested in catching a tarpon along the beach, which is beautiful. You got the blue-green waters, and you've got these, you know, you can see these amazing fish going right along the beaches. And it's a lot of fun to fish for them. This is, you're going to have a... It's going to be okay this month and a little bit okay next month, and it's going to kind of end. So you got to get it in now if you're going to do it.
Absolutely.
But I'd be spooled up with 40 to 50 pound braided, and don't use a huge leader so you can actually accurately cast.
Right.
Keep your leader down to 3 feet, 4 at the most. Don't do these ridiculous 6-8 foot leaders.
No.
3 feet a leader is what I like to use so I can still cast it. Remember, bring your rod back when you're looking at a school of tarpon. Bring that rod back and stop it on your back cast. Don't do this crazy, I'm going to be cool, and whip it back, whip it forward, because when you whip it back, that bait's swinging, and it's not going to go where you want it to go. Bring it behind you, stop. It's better to pause and look like you're a little more of a beginner, but it's actually the experienced fisherman who will stop on that back cast, wait for that bait to settle in, and throw it straight ahead. If you can cast where you want it to go, it's much cooler. I throw 90% of my casts go exactly where I want them to, because I stop on my back cast. I pause when I need to. If I'm just random casting, you know, I do, you know, just whip it back, whip it forward. But when I need it to go where I want it to go, you got to stop that bait.
Especially
keep it from
for
swinging.
Those fish. I mean, they've got their heads focused in one direction, and you need to be...
You
as
need to
close
be right.
to as front of their nose as possible.
And the dumbest thing I see is people trying to look cool, and they do that bass cast, you know, like if they were casting for bass, where they just bring it back, whip it, and whip it forward. You have no idea where that bait's going. And you can't tell me you do, because I've watched thousands of people cast. And when they're bringing it back, that bait's swinging around in an arc, and it's either going to, you know, hook to the left or slice to the right or whatever they call it. But it's not going to go true. And the only way to get it to go true is to stop. Pause that rod. Big, huge information. It doesn't sound like much, guys, but this is key, critical, need-to-know information if you're going to catch a tarpon.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to cast accurately. So anyway, let's move out into the Gulf.
Out into the Gulf, it's starting to really turn on. This is one of the best months for fishing out there.
Oh, big one on. Big one on.
Wow.
He's really running.
I want something that'll do that. I like that.
I got to tell you, that's what it's all about in the Gulf right now.
Absolutely.
Bonita, blackfin tuna. I mean,
yeah.
You blackfin. Don't have to travel that far. How far out are they? Not much.
They're getting, the better numbers are like 20 to 25 miles right now. There are a few smaller schools kind of in closer, like 10 to 15, but... You're going to have to really look hard for those. But once you hit that 20, 25 mark, it's literally everywhere scattered.
They're scattered all over the place. Just keep your eyes open. Keep your baits in the water.
Yep. Actually, believe it or not, some of those guys are catching those black fins out there on those banana jigs.
Yeah,
on
those the little,
the big banana, you know, the big
pompano jigs,
3/8 any ounce
type
ones.
Of, any type of pompano jig is going to be rocking and reeling right now.
And the key thing is, if you want the blackfin tuna, you do have to run and gun. You're going to have to get up in front of the school or right on top of the school as quickly as possible, cast your baits out. And the main thing is, with the blackfin, if you really want a best shot at them, let the bait drop through and hope it doesn't get hit by a bonita in the process. Let it drop down a good 10 to 20, 30 feet so below the school if you
make
can.
Make your cast and then start counting. When you see the splash of your bait hit the water, don't close the bail, don't stop the line, start counting. Count to 20 before you start to reel it in.
Yep.
If you're casting and ripping it through, you might catch some, but you're going to catch more doing it the other way.
Yep.
Cast and count, and the count there right now is at least 15, if not 20.
Absolutely. Those blackfin almost always will stay below the bonita. Very rarely do they come up. I mean, they will come up through them, but when they're blitzing out there on the surface like that, mostly those blackfin will be underneath them.
Yeah.
The other cool part is that there are some sharks out there blitzing on them too, feeding on the bonita.
Which big, is more and more happening every year. More of these sharks seem to be bunching up in the bigger schools and
that's
working
scary.
The bait. I mean, this is not something that was common 20 years ago.
No.
And each year it seems to be more and more common. They're bunching up the strength in numbers, I guess.
Yeah.
They're finding working together is better than working alone.
And the weird part is it's not just the bull sharks. There's sandbars out there. There's some big black tips, like true five and 6 foot black tips. There is a possibility of the occasional tiger. I mean, this year's probably been one of the most incredible years that I've heard of for tigers. Every year you hear of one or two random ones, but this year's pretty sick.
I'm with you. There's more tigers, more makos, more great whites. Not great whites. What's the word I'm looking for? Is it great white shark?
Yeah, the great whites have been out there in the Gulf.
Yeah.
50, 80 miles out, but they've been out there.
They're going to come closer.
Oh, I think so, too.
Because I think we've seen some of them come much closer to the beach, and I don't think it's going to be long before they end up working the shorelines.
Well, think about it. I mean, Ralph Allen's been doing this for decades. I mean, as long as mm-hmm. you or longer, and he saw his first Mako last month out there at Sherman's Reef, which is, what, 15 miles out?
Yeah, so we're going to see these Makos, the Great Whites, all these fish coming closer and closer to shore. I don't think it's going to be long before the bull sharks have a lot more competition in the pass.
Absolutely. And that'll actually be kind of impressive.
I can't wait to see Great Whites in the pass.
You think a hammerhead scatters the bull sharks? Wait until one of those guys show.
Yeah, then even the hammerheads will move.
Yeah,
I wonder if the hammerhead would move for a Great White.
I don't know. I'd be curious to see that one.
Whether the great white would move off for the hammerhead or the hammerhead would move off for the great white.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because, I mean, you've got two absolute rulers of the sea there.
Absolutely.
And I think it would determine if they're about the same size. I don't know which one would be which. But hammerhead has the regal, majestic, you know, ruler of the sea.
Yeah.
And then you've got great white, which is, I mean, he's the bully.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, I mean, that great white, he just, so
absolutely
we get a, you know, mega shark fight.
Yeah. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I'd like to be out there when the first great whites hit the pass to see what the hammerheads are going to do with that.
That would be pretty interesting,
because even the tigers move out when the hammerhead comes through.
I could see that too. I mean, the hammerhead has some kind of weird pecking order where everyone backs off.
Yeah, and it's weird because they don't have that much of a mouth for the size of them.
They don't have much of a mouth at all for the size of them.
No, it amazes fish, me. And you would think they'd have this gaping jaw and, you know, big gullet, but they just don't. I don't get it. Why are they so much? Why does every fish run from them?
Yeah. You know?
So anyway, back out there in the Gulf, lane snappers, mangrove snappers, grunts, porgies, you name it. If you're interested in a meal, any of the reefs out there right now, just, you're going to have a ball.
Yeah.
You're going to get more than enough fish for many meals. You know, you're going to limit out on all your snappers and stuff.
Yeah, and those are in a lot closer, too. So, I mean,
you can go from a mile and a half, 3 miles out
Yeah, you can start at the passes and work your way out, you know, or start early in the morning and run out about 15 miles and hit any of those near shore reefs and then start working your way back in, hitting some oddball hard bottom.
It's just amazing for the snapper fishing right now.
If you want food or you want to teach people.
So many lane snappers is just crazy.
And quality lane snappers. I mean, not even just your typical, stereotypical year. 6'8"
Yeah. I mean, you're talking 12, 14-inch lane snappers.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. The gag grouper has still been a little on the quiet side, but it has picked up a little bit, but mostly like 20, 25 miles out.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with the amberjack. If you want a bigger amberjack, they're out there in like that 25 to 30 mile mark. A lot of big red grouper out there too, around that same distance. There's a lot of smaller amberjack in closer, you know, that are either barely legal or undersized, which is still great for bending a rod.
Yeah.
And obviously with the blackfin and all that other stuff out there, there is the very good possibility when you're anchored up out there, there's no reason why you shouldn't have a pole ready with a free line on it. Just a small pole, because the little dolphin could show up.
Oh,
the mahi-mahi.
Yeah.
This
some mahi-mahi sailfish too. I mean, it's really, the Gulf is exciting right now. I mean, there's just a lot of fish. I should be going, oh my God, you got to go to the Gulf. But I'm tired.
Right.
Anyway, leaving that, going down, I don't really, Ponderosa, Sanibel should just be on fire, and it just doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, I think it's been a little quiet. I mean, all I've heard about really are the snook that are out on the beaches, those passes, and underneath all those docks along there. A few incidental redfish, but that should be lit up right now with some really good redfish down in there, and just not hearing it.
Right, yeah, and kind of the whole same thing through comes up St. James City, Mount Lachey.
Yep.
You've got some really spectacular time, followed by some really just kind of sitting around having a chat.
Yeah.
And then
I don't know if all this rain played a role in it that they've had and we've had down there this past week.
Could be the Coosahatchee's flowing really good. I got to check more up on the Coosahatchee.
Yeah, it's just...
I don't know what they're doing from Okeechobee dump down, because Coosahatchee's the dumping zone for the Lake Okeechobee. So
right.
I need to check on that. Maybe that'll explain a little bit. But coming up to Two Pines, we got a lot of snook there, Two Pines. Bunch of fish right out in there. A little bit of tarpon fishing right out from Two Pines. And coming up the east side, what's going on the east side?
Over on the east side, it's still a little quiet. You know, basically from Two Pines up to Pirate Harbor, they're just scattered up along those bushes and out on the flats a little bit. There are that one school of redfish that shows up right there south of Burnt Store. They're starting to bunch up a little bit, so they're scattered, but you're seeing little groups starting to form. So over the next couple of weeks, you're probably going
to
see that school
goes back
really
to what we were talking about. September, we expect to be talking great things about the redfish there around Burnt Store to Two Pines. But coming up around Pirate Harbor, we got a lot of redfish back around the islands. Mm-hmm. A few out closer to the bar, but a lot of redfish back around the islands there. Right. You got snook better on the south half, you know, right, just north of Pirate Harbor, 3-4 islands north of Pirate Harbor, a lot of snook there. But there are snook going all the way up through to Alligator Creek.
Right, and there's a lot of juvenile tarpon and mangrove snapper up inside Pirate Harbor, too. The mangrove snapper is staying at those deeper drop-offs along all those oyster beds.
The deeper the water, the cooler the water.
Yep. And then the little juvenile tarpon are just scattered all over the place. So if you want to screw around with an ultralight or a fly rod,
come in and get the tiny crappie-size rattle traps.
Yeah.
The little eighth-ounce rattle traps. Now, that is a crappie bait. People this year have found out how great a lure the rattle traps really are. Everybody's throwing rattle traps.
You've known it for years and talked about it. Just it's all of a sudden kind of gotten discovered.
Yeah. Yeah, they're rediscovering the value of a rattle trap. And the other one that's really cool is the little fishy. And Cream's got it knocked out of the park. And, I mean, using crappie jig heads with these little tiny bodies on it, just whacking the tarpon with them.
Right.
And you got two choices, the rattle trap or the little fishy. Those are your two ways you stand a chance. Possibly with a fly rod. And if I was going to go after him with a fly rod, I'm going to come in and I'm going to get that little teaser that we use on the pompano jigs.
Yeah.
You know, forget the clousers and all this other stuff. They're too big. They're too clumsy. The fish are not going to eat them. Get the little tiny Mylar. It's a number two hook with some Mylar on it.
Yeah, and it's nothing fancy. It's nothing at all.
If you're going to build your fly, take a number two hook and put some silver and some pink Mylar on it. and maybe silver and yellow, silver and pink, and you will catch those little tarpon with it. But yeah. Give it a little bit of weight just so you can drop it down. The hook will take it down a little bit, but with the tippet and everything, it takes a while. You got to really slow and just kind of work it between your little finger and your thumb, little short twitches. Don't do the big strip. Yeah. It's not going to work. So anyway, coming back up, I guess that puts us around the PGI canals.
Yeah, the PGI canals have gotten a little sporadic. The juvenile tarpon are all over the place inside the canals, but they're scattered more now. They're not in all over the place in there.
Hey,
they're
Jeff.
They're just scattered.
Come on, join in. We're just kind of finishing up. That mic's hot right there. And we got Jeff Calkins, one of our fishing instructors. You can come in and say hi for a bit.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, let's see. Do I got you there?
I thought I heard myself.
Yeah, there you are. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to boost it up a little bit there. So, go ahead, back to the PGI canals.
The black drummer's kind of scattered around a little bit. Mangrove snapper, most of it's concentrated more towards the mouths of them. Early mornings, like just before sunrise, has been best. The juvenile tarpon are stacked, though, all along from Colony Point all the way up to the 41 Bridge, just on the outside of all those canals. And they're mostly on the smaller side, like that 10 to 50 pound range. They're unbelievable, but it's all like a first light thing or late in the afternoon after those thunderstorms like we talked about.
Dusk
earlier.
Or dark.
Yep, yeah. It's been incredible.
That's so, cool. Jeff, if you were going to take somebody out to put them on a little bit of fish today, where would you go? Or this weekend kind of thing?
I've been hearing that we've been getting some activity upriver, so I think I'd probably try to go up the river and do a little trolling.
All right. Okay, what are you going to troll with up the river?
A big bomber. Usually that's what I use, something like that.
A 15 or 16
long
size
a,
bomber.
Yeah, long A. 15, yeah. Black and gold or chrome. Chartreuse is a good color.
You taught me something with that when we were up there trolling. Explain how you do that with the trolling, with you're varying your speeds, whether you're going with the tide or with the flow of the river or down the river. You change your speed significantly. So are you going faster when you're coming down the river, or are you going faster when you're going up the river?
No, I'm going a lot faster when I'm coming with the current down river, usually.
Because you got to keep the lure working. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to figure out if the tide's moving a mile an hour and you trolling upriver, you're going to slow down to about 2 miles an hour, because I like my lures to go 2-3 miles an hour. So you got to vary it, going much slower against the tide.
I generally find I'm doing somewhere between 2 and 6.
Yeah,
you know,
you get up 6 miles an hour
when I'm coming back.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because you got a 2-3 mile an hour current, you got to get 2-3 miles an hour faster.
And there's a lot of water dumping out of there right now, so I bet I'll be doing every bit of 6, maybe more, coming back down.
Yeah,
right.
It's about 5.5 feet in Arcadia right now.
Yeah, that's humping for that area. It's pretty high. It should be around 3 feet this time of year, which
it would. Well, actually, I'm going to disagree, because this is August. We should be having a lot of rain.
Yeah.
And it was at 7, so we had a 5-foot wall of water coming at us, and now it's down to about a 3-foot wall, but that's still a lot of tearing water.
It's still humping. 3 is a good level for there. That means I can drive almost all the way up there.
Have you been up to Iron Lake lately?
I have not been in Iron Lake probably in a year and a half, 2 years now. I've just been driving by the place.
Did you drive by it?
Yeah, driving by it, yeah.
Is the waterfall still a waterfall, or is it just flattened out?
It's flat. It's 4 feet deep running across there.
Oh, that would be flat. Yeah.
It's just too high to have any curve. That's the timer.
Oh.
So I don't sink the place.
Okay.
That's the timer to go turn the bilges on.
I gotcha.
Sink the ship.
So I'm sitting there listening to that going, are we on a news channel? I got to get that stuff.
Ticker
clock. It's like the headlines from the east and the headlines from Araby right now are,
Water's high.
Water's high in Arcadia.
Yeah.
In the back room in a minute.
Yeah. We got a little bit of time. But yeah, no, that's cool though. But yeah, I'll be trolling up there for tarpon. We'll probably get some snook up there. Last year I got more redfish up there than I ever have been in my life up there before, so they're moving further up. They like the habitat more,
or they're just more food has been up
more
there.
More food up there for them to eat. Crab traps still up there, so the crabbers are still putting a lot of traps out up there. The crabs go up there to do a yearly event, it seems like. They're up there every spring.
Don't they have to take them all out right now in a little while?
It's getting close.
Every other year.
Yeah. Every other year, so they might not have to pull them this year.
I don't think they have to do them this year.
Yeah.
You know, I always look forward to when they have to take all the traps out.
Yeah, well, that takes a lot of the easy work out of it, because if you're a first-timer and you're going up the river and the crab traps are out, it's kind of easy to navigate because you just follow the crab traps. If you can't see a trap, you know you're in more than 2 feet of water. Most boats can handle 2 feet of water.
Right.
You know, so that's a kind of an easy time for people to navigate up the river, you know. But, yeah, the early parts or lower parts of the river, the crab traps are spread out like a football team, you know. But
Jeff just gave you kind of critical need to know. If you're not familiar with the Peace River, watch for the crab traps. Like he says, if you can't see the trap, you got 2 feet of water.
Yeah.
And you're good. Yeah. If you can see the trap, you might want to work right or left of that.
Yeah.
You know, if you see the trap sticking out, okay, possible that you need to be over somewhere else. But yeah, that's a great idea. Right now would be a good time if you've never been up the Peace River. We were just talking earlier about being able to see the changing of the habitats as you go out and how cool that is to go from the salt water to the you know, the marshes where fresh and salt mix up into the pure fresh water up there. Be a great time to go up river, and you can follow the traps.
Yep, it's a good time to do it.
All right, we got to talk about the middle of the harbor. We haven't done that. Mm-hmm. Oh, Boquilla, Pine Island Sound. Let's do that first. Jug Creek, Shoals, and Boquilla, Pine Island Sound.
Jug Creek Shoals. Jug Creek Shoals got a lot of bait on it, a lot of pinfish, some threadies, some greenbacks, kind of a mixed array of stuff. That in turn is producing, you know, a lot of scattered small sharks, few snook, few redfish. Kind of a mixed variety of fish. As you move over a little bit further over towards Patricio and Yuseppa, there's been some big snook under all those docks and some underneath the bushes there around Patricio. Down into the sound, especially along the intercoastal part of it, there's a lot of scattered tarpon throughout there, mixed sizes of sharks. The backsides of those islands along those deeper grass flats, there is some snook and some redfish. A couple oddball schools of redfish, just like we talked about, kind of hopscotching everywhere. The redfish are starting to school up a little bit, so as you're trucking along,
we're looking to October, November for the adults to come in and start doing their spawns. So this is the time. And what happens in that time, we'll talk about it again and again and again, but when the big adults come in, any of the redfish that are big enough to leave with the adults to keep up going, because they're going to leave here and go to the Carolinas, to Louisiana. They leave here and go everywhere.
Yeah.
But the fish has to be big enough to be able to keep up to that. And that's why we have our slot limit here, is to allow more of them to go out into the Gulf. But we're actually Tallahassee, if you're listening. I hope you are, and thank you for that. But one thing we'd like you to consider is allowing a dual slot. So you're allowed one oversized redfish or one in the slot, but oversized would be over 34. You know what I mean?
A little bit bigger fish,
Put the same inch thing, but do one at 18 to 27 and one at, you know, 34 to whatever.
Right.
You know, allowing a but you can only have one fish. Keep it one fish, but you get to choose which slot limit you want it out of.
Right.
That, to me, would be a much better way of doing this. Allow you a dual slot. One fish per day, but it has to be either in this slot or that slot.
Yeah.
That, to me, would be the great thing to have happen to give us in Southwest Florida a chance, like they do in the Carolinas or Louisiana.
Yeah.
You know, bring us back into more of a viable state. And remember, no, we do not want to keep these snook, the slot limit now. We want slot limit range change. We want it up over 40 inches.
Yeah, that slot
we don't
limit
want to
on
keep,
snook is absolutely,
absolutely stupid.
It's horrible.
We need to, no fish taken under 40 inches. The old and the weak, the same way the sharks take them, the same way all nature does that. They take the old and the weak, and that's what we want to do. So anyway, through the middle of the harbor, we got the deep holes with a lot of different activity in them.
Yeah.
The Alligator Creek Reef, the Cape Hayes Reef, both those have snappers on them right now.
Yep.
Some gag grouper, a little bit of black drum. Cape Hayes Reef, a little more with sharks.
Yeah.
More sharks there. There are some at Alligator Creek.
Correct.
But what's the... I mean, everything on the tarpon map is all about the harbor right now.
Yeah. Yeah, the tarpon are just ate up throughout the entire center of the harbor. From the hill at Boca Grand Pass all the way up through the entire center of the harbor, especially the all of the holes in the harbor, the 20-foot, the middle one, the Pirate Harbor hole, all those are just stacked with tarpon right now. and a lot of assorted sizes of sharks, from small little guys to big guys.
Now, Kale's out there. He's dying to call in. And we finally got our phone lines working. Kale's dying to call in. He's catching fish out on the water. He wants to do a recording of it. What? Any advice for catching sharks or tarpon out there, Jeff?
Right now, I'd try to find some bait that you can see. Look to the horizon. You'll probably pick up bait pods a lot sooner than if you just look right in front of you. But anything you can catch out there right now would be really good to use. Frozen bait would be pilchards or ladyfish cut up, I would think, would be really good right now.
Whole ladyfish.
Really, yeah,
They're starting to turn on to the ladyfish a little bit more out there. So your whole ladyfish and thread fins are working really well.
Now, that's what I was going to kick in. Yeah. Get a five-pound box of frozen thread fins if you're not good with catching bait, because they're just idling along with
them. Yeah, they'll eat them dead in a heartbeat.
And using them as a trolling bait, you know, like people would do ballyhoo, dragging them.
Right. Well, and actually, it's funny you say that. I had a guy come in yesterday, and he bought four packages of rigged ballyhoo, and they were going out to troll with them. And what they had been catching, they had been offshore. They'd been using them for grouper and stuff, but, you know, they would work too, I would think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know. It's just you can buy a box of thread fins really cheap compared to the...
I understand that. But.
I'm old and I'm cheap. Yes, I am. And I think you're going to probably do probably as well dragging a thread fin that you can buy for $6 to $10 a box, and you know, 5 pounds of them for $10 versus, you know, $10 per ballyhoo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, and they will take them live or dead. A lot of people think that you have to have these live thread fins or live ladyfish. I always take frozen bait with me.
Fresh bait insurance. Exactly. The fresh bait's better, but the frozen bait works.
You taught me that a long time ago.
You could spend all day looking for live bait.
Yeah,
you
know, and this time of year, especially with the ladyfish, they're still scattered. And then the thread fins, they've been inconsistent because of all the rain.
Sure.
I remember when I was arrogant enough to think that I could just go out, catch my bait, and catch my fish in the day.
Yeah.
And learn that... My whole arrogant attitude was really stupid because I just wasn't that good. And I've met very few. I think maybe Danny Latham, you know, but I don't even know if he can do it all the time.
No.
But
he's pretty impressive, but I guarantee you that there's days where it hurts him too.
Yeah. I don't care who you are.
You're take not a little get bit them every day.
Take frozen. And that way you've got all this live bait at your disposal, but or fresh bait.
Yeah. Well, it's cheap insurance. You know?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without a doubt. So anyway, any place we missed?
I think we hammered all of it.
All right, Jeff, any last words of advice?
Go early as you can in the day. It's the coolest time of the day.
Yeah.
It's beautiful out, but ooh, boy, is it hot.
Get on the boat at dark.
Yeah, bring a lot of water with you, more than you think you'll need.
Yeah, we've added biminis to all our boats. Yeah. And this year, the sun is intense.
Yeah.
And we've got, even the bus, we're putting two biminis on it, so when we take them down, we can lean them together so they're not in the way.
Yeah.
And so we're doing two biminis on the bus.
Sunscreen.
Sunscreen, yep. Yeah. Any words of advice, Robert?
I think Jeff hammered it perfectly. Mm-hmm. You know, lots and lots of water right now. I mean, and even take Gatorade that you can dilute, because I mean drinking pure Gatorade just wrecks your stomach when you start to get a little dehydrated. But if you can dilute it in half, like,
well, you're
you
not
taught
a football
me,
player, you're not out there exercising. Gatorade and Powerade and all these other ones are made for athletes running and working hard in the sun. For us normal human beings, the regular ones, mix your Gatorade, half water, half Gatorade. Take water with you and just mix them together, because it half and half replenishes you, keeps you going. Too much of that salt and stuff can cause a lot of problems within your system.
Absolutely.
Electrolytes are basically salt. And that's what they call salt, to make it sound like
fancy.
You need to do this. But it's just they put salt in the drink. And it's too much. So mix it, dilute your Powerade, your Gatorade, whatever it is, with half and 50-50 water in that, and you will do great out there. You won't have any of these dizzy blackout periods. So anyway, I think we've kind of covered that. I guess I'll play some music. Well, literally, I played music, and now I'll play the music I played. There we go. Just a little bit of it going there. And thank you guys for listening. This has been an Area Fishing Report with Fish and Frank and Robert in the chair across from me and Jeff Calkins. Jeff Calkins. He is one of our fishing instructors. And if you're interested in learning, and no one knows the rivers better, and whether it's the Mica River, the Peace River, if you're really interested in learning that, Jeff will also do the intercoastal, the harbor, and everything else. but very few people can give you, as we were talking about today, the trip of a lifetime, where he'll get on the boat with you and show you how to navigate up the river and see all these spectacular sights. And
and the history of knowledge of that you have of that area too is pretty impressive.
Yeah, knowing what's happened there the last 200 or 300 years, yeah, is really cool. So anyway, Fishing Frank and Robert and Jeff Calkins, our fishing instructor. We'll see you guys next on the next Radio Fishing. We're hoping to get some call-ins from on the water today. We're going to try for that, so we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.